Grace and peace be unto you from God, who is our Father and Mother, and from Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. Amen. I want to tell you about a story that I heard last week. I was part of a group of clergy, pastors, priests, imams, and rabbis called Voice. And we were meeting with one of the candidates for governor of Virginia. They're going through the primaries. And anybody that has received 20% of the votes or more, we will meet with as an organization from the community. One of the members of this organization shared a story with Mr. Gillespie about her experience at work. She did not name the hospital for privacy reasons, and I won't name her for the same reason. But she said that she works as a cardiopulmonary therapist, so that she helps people improve their breathing and the health of their heart. She said that she was on her shift and then walked into a patient's room to do her work. And she walked in and she smiled and she said, good morning. And if you've seen this woman, she's so sweet and she has such a pure spirit and she has a beautiful smile. But she says that as she walked into the room and she said, good morning, the patient that was laying down in bed, as soon as she looked at her, she grabbed under her, grabbed the pan that they have there for their waist, and threw it at her face and said, get out of here, you effing terrorist. Of course, I forgot to mention that this young woman is a Muslim and that she was wearing her hijab when she was in workplace. It is very sad that people feel that they have the right to make a judgment about another one merely on appearances, and that they feel justified to commit an act of violence against them, thinking that is the right thing to do. And it is even more sad when you do that under the pretense that we are following Scripture, that we are being blessed by the Scriptures to do that. This text that we just heard today, this gospel text, has been used for many centuries precisely to bless that type of violence. If you heard carefully, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he says, nobody comes to the Father except through me. And of course, people throughout the centuries got a little bit too happy with this text. And they said, well, if Jesus is the way and nobody comes to the Father except through the way, then they built a gate, you know, and that way that God had opened up for people to come to God. And not only did they build a gate, but they put a toll booth there. And they say, you got access to God, you got to go through me. And unfortunately, this had really terrible consequences. I mentioned this before, but the entire conquest of these two continents, the Americas, was done under the excuse that the people that were originally here were heathen because they worshiped idols. They did not follow the true way, and the Europeans felt the right then to come here and force them to work for them because that was payment for them to teach them the real way, the only way to the Father. The same thing happened in the African continent. They believed that they were devil worshippers and they had to bring to them the real way, the way of Christ. And because that was a big sacrifice, they had in turn to work for them and raise funds. And even today, when we hear about the wars that are going on around the world, we still hear that type of language being used, justification. It is not a war of ideologies, but it is really a war of religion, sometimes people say. It is Christianity or Western civilization versus Islam. But that is not what Jesus said. When we use the text that way, we're doing violence to the context of the text. We always need to understand why Jesus said this, what was going on at that moment. And if we read that text that we just heard, and we go a little bit back to see what the setting is, we realize that Jesus is having an intimate moment with his disciples. Jesus is telling them what's about to happen. Jesus is telling them, he has just told them, that he's going to be betrayed. he has told them that one of them, Peter, one of the leaders, is going to deny him 3 times. Jesus has told them that he's going to suffer, that he's going to be publicly humiliated, that he's going to be tortured, that he's going to be killed. They are distraught. The disciples are confused. And what we are listening to is Jesus trying to console them. It's Jesus with the tenderness of a mother trying to cheer them up, trying to help them, to give them consolation and comfort. And so Jesus is explaining to them, I have to go to the cross. I have to go to a place of pain. I have to go to a place of suffering. I have to go to a place of death. I even have to go to a place of hell and then rise again. Because there are people that are stuck in those places of sin, of guilt, of pain, of facing death, even of hell. And I go to them so that I can open up a way, so that they no longer be stuck in those places, so that they can have a way to return to the Father, to the heart of God. Do you remember Hansel and Gretel? Am I saying that right? Hansel and Gretel. Well, it's German anyway, so. Do you remember how those two siblings knew that they were going to be left in the forest? And they were clever, and they knew they were going to be left in the forest, so they left a trail behind them so that they could find their way back home. Well, they were kind of smart because the idea was good, but the materials were not quite right. Remember what they used? They used breadcrumbs, right? And so they marked a trail so that they could find their way back home. But then when night came and they wanted to go back home, what happened to the bread? It was gone. The animals had eaten it. But think about ants instead. I don't know if you know this about ants, but ants are amazing because they can find food anywhere. Leave some sugar outside on the counter and they will find it. But the thing is that they all find it, right? And then you see a straight line of ants going all the way there and then back to their home. And the reason they can do that is because one of the ants is leaving a chemical trail behind so that the other ants can find their way to the food, but also can find their way back home. That's why if you clean the path, then all of a sudden you see that when the ant gets to the part where you clean, it goes crazy. It doesn't know what to do. It starts walking around. Even if she can see the other ants in front, it doesn't know what to do because it can no longer follow the trail. Now, we believe that in Christ, that is what God has done for us. God has left a trail so that we can find our way back to God. In Christ, God has, in fact, opened a trail, opened a way so that those that are trapped in guilt, those that are trapped in pain, those that have to face death, even those that are trapped in hell, if there's such a thing, can find a way back to God. Christ is the way that God opens for people to go back. And if Christ is the way, that means that I'm not the way, right? If Christ is the way, and only Christ, then that means that no religion is the way. Because the way, it's only Christ. And he made it clear, only through me. If Christ is the way, then not my sense of morality, not my set of values are the way. Christ is the way. See, during these times, there were also mystery religions. There were Gnosticism. There were groups of people that would say, in order to find your way to heaven, you need to follow this path. And this path is only available to the initiated. This path is only available to those that study with the great masters. This path is only available to those that know the secret, the Gnosis. That's why they call Gnostics, the secret knowledge. And Jesus is saying, this is public. This is available to all. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am. Now, we need to understand that the path that Christ opens to come to us, it's more than just a path that we can then travel back to go to God. But it is the path that is formed by the movement of God himself coming down from heaven to us to our rescue. It is not an opening where we are then invited to come, but it is God himself with the tenderness of a mother, with the passion of a mother, with the persistence of a mother coming to our rescue. Now, how many times have I sat down with mothers whose children are going through some difficult times? Maybe they are doing drugs, maybe they are selling drugs, and there have been years of this going on, and they won't give up. They will still kneel down. They will still pray to God. They will persistently ask for God. It is with that persistence that God comes to us in Christ. That is the way. That is the path that is opened up for us. It is like a story that I shared with you some time ago that happened in Florida. There was a mother that was living, I think it was near the Everglades, and she was living with her daughter, maybe a 4 or 5-year-old daughter. And she was in her kitchen doing the dishes, looking out the window while her daughter was playing outside. But there was a lake near their house. And as she was doing the dishes, watching for her daughter, then she saw an alligator coming from the lake and approaching the daughter. And of course, she left everything there and went running to help her daughter, yelling and screaming. And she was a little bit too late because the alligator was able to reach and bite the legs of the daughter, but she did make it on time to hold on to her, and she stayed there until somebody had called 911, and they came and they rescued the girl, and they were able to save her. Then she was in the hospital, and the story goes that a reporter went to interview her, and after the interview, the reporter asked her if he could see her wounds. And she said yes, and then the reporter removed the blanket to look at her legs and took pictures of her legs. And then the girl asked him, "Do you want to see my other wounds?" And he said, "What other wounds?" And she said, "These ones." And then she showed the wounds, the marks that her mother had left on her arm because the mother would not let go of her. That's why she lived, because her mother did not let go. We all carry the wounds of Christ in us, the mark of baptism that we receive. Because in Christ, God will not let go of you, no matter what you do, no matter where you are, no matter in what mess you've gotten yourself into, no matter the person that you love, what they are doing or what happened to them, God will not let go. God is the way. God is holding on to us, and like that mother, bringing us back. And not only do we have the marks in our body, but Christ himself has the marks, the wounds of how much it costs him to go even to the depths of hell to save us and to rescue us. Now that is what he meant when he say, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Now that is a message that we feel inspired to go and share with others, especially those that we see that are trapped in guilt, or those that are trapped in pain, or those that are trapped because they're facing death and they're scared of death. And when you hear that message, you feel like Stephen in the first reading that we heard today. He was about to die, and yet he looked up and he saw the heavens open, and he saw Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he knew the way that had been opened up for him. And so we too find courage even to face death. That is the good news that we are called to share with others. Not to put a gate and a toll booth on the way that God has opened, but to come and tell everybody, "Hey, here's a way. We found a way back to God. Would you like to try it?" Amen.